This morning, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter number 8. And we'll be reading there just, verses 28 through about 35 there. This past week, you know, the 4th of July, of course, was last Monday. And a lot of people celebrated the 4th of July, and of course we all need to celebrate the freedom that we have in our country, and I appreciate the freedom to be able to come to God's house, don't you? Amen. To have the liberty, I wasn't threatened this morning or anything to come to His house, and I thank God for that freedom that we have. Freedom is a very important word, and that's what we're going to be speaking about this morning, about freedom. But it's wonderful that we can come together and worship God in spirit and truth. And with Christian brothers and sisters that have the same motive, it wants to worship the Lord, want to honor Christ in our lives. By the way, I really enjoyed the Sunday school this morning. Brother Bradley done a wonderful job teaching. And that was just really wonderful this morning to sit under that and listen. And we appreciate the songs and everything that's been done this morning. But pray for Stephen and Sister Murray that the Lord will bless them. He called me yesterday, and I know he was concerned. I said, well, now, if people leave over my preaching, you ain't going to be mad at me, are you? He said, well, you better not run nobody off, so I ain't going to. So if you get mad at me, don't get mad at him, okay? I don't want to face Stephen. Stephen's a real good person. I really appreciate Stephen. He's been a blessing to us. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that please Him. And He spake these words, many believed on Him. Let me say that again. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be of Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Verse 36, and if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious fathers, we come before your presence this morning. We are honored and grateful from our hearts this morning that we can come and worship with our brothers and sisters. Lord, we don't know the great need that's in each and every person's life here this morning. But Lord, we know that you can help each one of us in our very needs. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, this morning, this wonderful freedom wherewith you make us free, Lord, that we can experience that in our lives, and Lord, that we may walk in the liberty wherewith you set us free. Lord, we ask, Lord, you bless each one that's come this morning. Lord, we know in ourselves, in our own personal knowledge, and in our own wisdom, Lord, we have nothing to offer. But we know that, Lord, that you know all things. Please strengthen your people. Help them, encourage them, challenge them in their hearts that we can walk away this morning uplifted and build up in you and serve you and do your will. And we'll give you the praise and the honor for everything that's accomplished. May that one that's here this morning that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, may they come this morning and turn their hearts and lives over to you and be freed from it. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and for His sake. Amen and amen. I wanted to talk about freedom. I've thought about freedom all week long. You know, this wonderful freedom that we experience in our country, it's not like the freedom that God gives you. Even though a lot of people, you know, the naturally thinking, people want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, with whom they want to do it. And they don't want no limits or boundaries or no perimeters. They want to be able to do it anytime they want to do it. Well, there's never been that kind of peace. There's never been that kind of freedom in this earth. There's always been perimeters and there's always been boundaries. And, you know, I was thinking this morning if I decided to do like the world wants to do and say, well, I'm just going to do what I feel like I want to do this morning, I probably wouldn't have got out of bed, first of all. But if I went out to my car this morning and I just started up and was going to back out of my garage, I'd probably, if I just wanted to do what I wanted to do, I wouldn't even look behind me. I'd just back up. It should be clear. I mean, there shouldn't be any obstacles in the way or anything like that, and I could just back up. And let's say that I just wanted to do what I wanted to do this morning, and I just put it in drive and pull out of my driveway and not look either way out on the main road. And just pull out on the road. Well, it's early, probably not many people out there driving around this morning. I probably could just pull out on the road. I'll probably be all right if I just want to do what I wanted to do. And I pull out on the road and I drive down the road and I see these yellow lines in the middle of the road and I think, well, today I'm just going to drive in the middle of the road. Got more room on both sides. I'd be all right. I mean, I've got more road to drive on. Well, I come to a yield sign. There ain't nothing in sight. I'll be all right. I'll just drive through the yield sign. I'll not stop at the stop sign. I don't see nothing coming. I'll just go ahead and go through the stop signs. And what's the chances of me making it here this morning? What's the chances of me getting to church this morning if there wasn't those perimeters and guidelines and traffic stops and safety precautions that we need to take? Even when we do the simplest task, there's always a perimeter or guidelines you have to stay within for your well-being and your safety. So if we think we can just go on this freedom that the world's talking about, you know, all these new laws that's been made for anything to go on, there's a why behind the law. And that why is the reason why we have laws and rules set up. Because it's to protect you and to provide for you and make it a safer and that you can have a more blessed life. What is freedom? What is the freedom that we need to experience in our own personal lives? What is the definition of freedom? Freedom is the capacity to exercise choice. Now the thing with choice is you can get wrong sometimes with your choices. So you need to have guidelines and parameters in which you will fall under. And so that you don't destroy yourself. So that you won't bring hurt and harm in your life. So the greatest freedom that this earth has ever known started out when God, and by the way, people relate this with the church. They say the church today, it's got all kind of rules. They got all kinds of things. Who wants to go to church and be bound under rules and regulations and laws? But these are there to protect us that we can enjoy the freedom that we can really experience by following after the rules. The greatest freedom on this earth that ever was in the Garden of Eden. I want you to turn over here to Genesis chapter number 2. At the front of your Bibles, we know what happened in the Garden of Eden. God had planted a beautiful garden, a perfect garden. A perfect garden. It was a perfect environment. God planted the garden, by the way. And in this garden, He formed man. In Genesis chapter number 2, and verse number 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, he only gave Adam, and after he had formed Eve and made Eve, he put them in this beautiful garden. He told them, of all the trees thou shalt freely eat, but of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat, for the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. He only gave one rule. Now today we're under many, aren't we? There's plenty of rules out there and we must abide by. But Adam and Eve only had one. Just one. Of everything, it was free. He was free. Adam and Eve were the freest that man has ever known. And yet, in that freedom that they had, he gave them their own will. You have to make a choice. And that choice was given to Adam and Eve so that they may know that they are under the authority of God. One rule, one law. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the only thing they had to go by. Everything else was free. They was free as any man has ever been or could be. There's never been that much freedom ever before or never will be on this earth. But while they were under that great freedom that they had, you know, they didn't even have an argument. They didn't have nothing. There was nothing, no shame, no guilt. They had nothing like that in the Garden of Eden. So God is not a God of a lot of rules and regulations. Those rules and regulations are there to protect us and to keep us from harm. And so Adam and Eve, you know, Eve was deceived by the serpent. The old serpent slipped in there and told Eve, said, surely God, surely you won't die. And Eve was deceived. Now let me ask you something this morning. What kind of lies is the devil telling you? Don't he use the same tactic that he used on Eve to most of us? Don't he use that same frame of thought? Oh, surely you. A little bit ain't going to hurt you. You'll be all right. God knows that he's keeping you from pleasure, and he knows he's keeping you from enjoying the freedoms you can have outside of the perimeters he set up. Does he challenge you that way? Hey, I'm 30-year-old Christian. 36-year-old Christian. Been preaching 30 years. And the temptation and lies still come from the same source. He still tries to lure me in past the perimeters that God has set up. Is he not trying to do that in your personal life? Does he not try to tempt you to draw away? Surely you can be like most Christians and, you know, that fall into something. Let me just use an example of drinking or something. Maybe you're an occasional drinker or whatever. The big lie is a little bit ain't going to hurt you. You ain't going to tell this preacher that. Because I was almost a full-fledged alcoholic before I got saved. And it just take one little drink to get me right back into it and lure me back into that kind of a lifestyle. You say, well, I can handle it. I can handle it. You know, Eve thought she probably could handle it too. Adam probably, they thought they could probably handle it too. You think you can handle it. But my best friend whom I had in high school, he died when he was 36. Guess what? Cirrhosis of the liver. You know what it's caused from? Drinking. Sin, my friend, it works death in all of us. So we're all vulnerable. We all can fall. We all can stumble. And we got to realize just how weak we really are and how much the devil can use that tactic to draw us away from God's will. So, you know, God didn't make us a whole bunch of rules in the beginning. But when Adam and Eve failed, and they partake of that fruit. They lost the freedom they had. They thought they were going to free themselves up to enjoy pleasure. And you know, there is pleasure in sin for a season, isn't it? I mean, there's pleasure in sin. I'm not going to tell you there's not pleasure in sin. But the ends of that sin will bring corruption. The Bible says if we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. But God had to kick them out of the garden, the most perfect environment, the most freedom that they possibly, that man could ever have. He was kicked out of that place because they wouldn't honor the authority of God. They went against and was disobedient to God Almighty. Now, there's a lesson to learn right there for all of us. Right there, there's an application. We got to realize that we're under authority, God's authority, God's Word. And the more we learn and the more we apply to our lives, the freer we can be in this world. And the more we rebel and are disobedient to God's Word, the more freedom is taken away from us. I want to be free, don't you? I don't like to be under the bondage of sin. I don't like to be under the bondage at all about anything. But Christ makes us free. Hey, some things we can learn about this freedom here. That God is a God of freedom. There was only thou shalt not one, just one of them, in the Garden of Eden. But because of sin, they lost out on their freedom that they had before. You know, they lived in the garden. They was without shame. How many of you hate shame? Wouldn't you like to be free from shame? Would you like to be free from guilt? They were totally free from this in the garden. They had never known that. They didn't know nothing about this stuff. Shame and guilt. And pain and suffering. Would you like to be free from pain, suffering? Boy, I would you? They had that in the Garden of Eden. They walked freely with God. They communed. They could be right in His very presence every day. Communion with God every day. They lost that. They were kicked out. You know, they never had a conflict with each other until after they sinned and was kicked out of the garden. You see the freedom that you lose when you think and listen to the devil, and the devil says, listen, you're not experiencing all that you could in this world. If you would just do this, if you would just do this, surely God will be merciful to you and you'll be all right. But every time we walk past God's perimeter, we are setting ourselves up to lose more freedom in our personal lives. Now I'm talking about the maximum freedom to be found only under God's authority. What about our moral guidelines? What about our finances? What about our entertainment? These are areas that the devil loves to say and lure you from God's will and God's perimeter. He always tempting you to go just a little bit farther. He's tempting you and trying to draw you out of the perimeters where God has set. And you say, well, I don't want to be an old fogey. I don't want to be like just be a stiff neck and never being able to enjoy myself and never enjoy the pleasures. But those who have protected themselves and kept themselves in the perimeters where God has set are the most blessed people and have the freedom that only God can give. This freedom that's preached all over America, they're talking, it's a fleshly freedom that today they're wanting to create these new laws and establish new laws for same-sex marriages and all these things. and say that's freedom. Well, they get locked up in one of those going against God's perimeter, and you know what happens? They lose more freedom than they ever had before. They get diseased. There's all kinds of... How about our finances? You know, we try to spend more than we earn sometimes. We try to... the devil says, lures us away with things. That's what's going to make you happy. Let me tell you this morning. It ain't going to be things that's going to satisfy that unsatisfied feeling inside of you. It won't be things, no matter how expensive they are and how much you try to obtain the things of this world. Only when we have more of the Lord and we are content with such things as we have. And contentment comes from God. Loving Him, being satisfied with Him. Looking to Him, trusting Him. Entertainment. Where do we cross the lines on entertainment? These perimeters. Now I hope I don't offend nobody this morning, but these are places where the devil is going to attack you and try to get you bound in and as a slave to sin. He wants to make a slave out of you. And so this freedom, we've got to realize that the freedoms that we have, the true freedom comes from the Lord God Almighty. You know one of the reasons why I didn't get saved in church for a long time when I was a young person? Only thing I could think about is, boy, you have to give up a whole lot to be a Christian. Did you ever think that way? Did that thought ever run through your mind? How much am I going to have to give up to become a Christian? Boy, I used to try to bargain with God. I would promise Him, well, when I get older and I don't have to experience all these new things, then I'll turn my life over to You. Then You can be Lord of my life. Now, You may not have done that, but that's the way I thought as a young person. And many times I refused as the Spirit of God would move upon my heart about getting saved in church. I would turn my head and go the other way because I wanted to experience my way. I wanted to experience the pleasures of this life. I was listening to the devil. And the devil was trying to wreck and destroy me before I could ever get saved. And he just about done that. But thank God, I yielded and made the right choice one time. Instead of turning back, I turned toward. And I went to an old-fashioned altar, and I didn't even know how to pray. And the preachers gathered around and tried to give me Romans Road, and they were showing me scriptures in the Bible, and they were telling me how to be saved, and they said, just pray. And they looked at me and said, do you understand? I said, no, I don't understand. Well, they said, you pray in your own words and ask the Lord to help you. And I did, and I got saved. Thank God. He didn't give up on me. I see this trend going all over churches where I've been. People are drawn away and enticed away from God's perimeters. I still believe it's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves. I still believe it takes the power of the Holy Spirit drawing the man to come and ask the Lord to save him. These old ways are perimeters that we can't just go past and say, well, maybe they'll get saved later on, or maybe people will turn their hearts over to the Lord. Listen, folks, we got to pray, and we got to stay faithful to the Lord and let Him use us. Our choices, the good thing about choices is, I like freedom of making my choices. You do too. But if we don't keep it within the perimeters of God's establishment, what He's established, you know what happens? We lose the freedom. We lose out on what we could have had. I want you to turn over back with me over to Romans chapter number 8. And I thought, Brother Aaron, I thought you this morning was going to go ahead and finish out my message reading the scripture. Christ has made us free. Thank God he came like he came. He was the very expressed image of God's person. He's the brightness of the glory of God. He was God incarnated. He took upon him the form of a man. He was equal with God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He was very God. Everything you wanted to know about God was expressed in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You want to know how God would react, or you want to know how God would feel, you look to Jesus Christ, you'll find exactly how God the Father wanted it expressed. Amen. And Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to take your sin upon him who had no sin, that you could be made righteous through him. For God had made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We're righteous because what Jesus Christ done. God the Father loved you that much too. That's an expression of how God the Father loves you. And so he gave back what Adam lost. What Adam took for granted and lost in the Garden of Eden. All the freedom that we could have had if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. Just think what we could have had in paradise. But all that was lost in Adam, but what was lost was brought back through Jesus Christ. We can walk in His liberty. We can walk in freedom. But there's perimeters in which we must abide by, because this is what God has established for our protection. To not bring us harm in our own personal lives. In Romans chapter number 8, at the beginning up, in verse number 1, we'll start there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. He didn't leave us helpless. He gave us the Holy Spirit when we knelt and prayed and asked the Lord to save us. He indwelled. The Holy Spirit indwells inside of us. He didn't leave us without help. And this Holy Spirit that indwells us can teach us and lead us and instruct us. He left us His Word, by the way, too. In verse number 2, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I no longer have to go to hell. I no longer have to let sin reign in my mortal bodies. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how pretty you dress up this morning. Down deep in every one of us is an old nature that can creep up and sin. And it's not very pretty. But Christ has made and provided a way that we can be clean before His presence and dress properly before Him. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm properly fitted this morning in His presence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is our atoning work. Makes me fit for His presence. Yours too. In verse number 4 he said, and the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Folks, we need to pray every morning when we get up that the Lord would help us to walk in the Spirit. That we can be the ministers, as he was teaching in Sunday school this morning, that we can be the vessels that God can use when we go to work, and or if we're at home and our families are there, that they can see Christ in us. And so we need Him to work in our lives. We need Him to be able to be freed up to work in our personal lives so we can be free to honor Him. Walking in the Spirit. Verse 5. And they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now that tells on us, folks. That tells us exactly where we are. And I don't know about you, and I'm just being honest. I'll just be honest with you this morning. I work at the glass plant down in Greenland. AGC's Flat Glass of America, and I experienced some of the greatest frustrations in my personal life. If I don't pray, I'll make a car wreck throughout the day. My life, my personal testimony, if I'm not careful, I'll be caught up just like everybody else because of the worldliness and things that's in the place. I'll be caught up into the same thing. In other words, stepping across the perimeters that God has established. So I have to walk in the Spirit. And we need to walk in the Spirit each and every day. Verse number 6, he said, "For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace." Don't you want to experience the freedom of life and peace? You can only do that when you stay within the perimeters that God has established. When we walk outside of it to experience what the world would say is freedom, we lose it. We lose the freedom that we had before. Now this may not be making much sense to you this morning. I celebrate the freedom that we have in our country because there was a great price paid for it. But I celebrate each and every Sunday and every day I possibly can the freedom where Christ has made me free. And we ought to enjoy the freedom that He's given us. We can have peace and joy and life more abundantly than what the world can offer. Amen? I want that life. He gives life and gives it more abundantly. He lets me experience real freedom that I don't have to sin. You know, there was a time in my life when sin would call. I would answer. When sin would draw me, I was lured to it. When sin was drawing me, I couldn't keep from sinning. But after I got saved, I had to make a choice. God's given us all a choice. He still lets you have that choice, that free will. And if you'll yield to the Lord, you'll find a freedom that I don't have to do that no longer. I don't have to fall to the allurements of sin. A lot of people say, well, why does God allow me to be tempted? Well, He don't allow you to be tempted. He's not letting you be tempted. But you will be tempted of Satan. We're drawn away when we lust and things will draw us away to fall into the sin. And when sin's finished, it brings forth death. What I'm trying to say this morning is God has given us freedom. Praise God, I'm free this morning. I'm free from, even though times are looking really bad in our country, to the Christian, they're looking pretty good. These things are going to happen. And there's nothing you can do to stop them. They're going to try to correct them with laws and boundaries, but as long as the devil's out there, he'll draw them past those boundaries. Until they get Christ in their hearts, they'll never be freed up from that. Amen. What they need is the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord of their lives. It's not a black and white, orange, red, whatever color people are. It's not an individual color problem. It's a human problem. It's called hatred. And we lost the freedom from hatred when Adam fell in the garden, the first of all human beings. And we'll lose the freedom in our personal lives when we pass those boundaries. What are the parameters? And why am I saying this morning? Because I believe every one of us is probably tempted one way or other. How much of God's Word do we study and apply to our lives? The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide thy Word in my heart that I may not sin against God. These are verses you're taught from a child up as a young Christian. And when we go past those parameters, we lose another freedom. We lose more than just one freedom. We lose more freedoms. I'm going to come to a close here in a few minutes. I hope I ain't confused you this morning. I hope you've been challenged in your heart to not let the devil take over your home and not let him take over your life, personal life, or your home, or your community, or your church, or your country, and experience the freedom that God meant for us to have. Amen. I celebrate it this morning. I'm not ashamed of the freedom that I have in Christ Jesus. I thank Him for setting me at liberty. I'm free. And you can be free. Truly free. When your hope's in the right one. If your hope is only in what the government can do to make it better, it's a false hope. It won't ever happen. Till King Jesus comes. But if your hope is in the Lord God Almighty this morning and you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can experience the freedom that He meant for you to have. And you can't have it in this natural world. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this is short this morning, maybe. Maybe you got help, maybe you didn't. But there is freedom in the Lord. And when we start complaining and fussing about, oh, I got to go to church, you better realize there's where your strength is. The more you get of the Lord in your personal life, the freer you're going to be. Amen. He'll set you free. He'll change your sadness into gladness. It's a wonderful privilege that God has given us together as we have this morning. Wonderful privilege. And I don't take it for granted. Because I know if I pass those boundaries and those perimeters that God has set up to rule for my benefit, because I know God loves me more than anybody. Do you know that this morning? And He ain't setting up these boundaries to make you miserable. He's setting you up these boundaries and the Word of God so that you can have life and have it more abundantly and experience Him freely. So, when they start telling you, well, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. Well, ain't you bound up at your church? Ain't you bound? Are you trying to follow all the rules and regulations? No. I have a new nature inside of me that wants to follow. The old nature had me bound. Sin has made me a servant to the devil. And sin will make you a servant to the world and the devil and the flesh. But with Jesus Christ, you can get freed up. Get free from that. Don't let it strangle you. You say, well, I've got things going on in my life. Well, you know what? Come to Jesus. Come to Him and let Him free you. Don't let it draw you to a place that it'll destroy you. I won't tell this on myself, and I'm coming to the close. This is on me when I first got saved. You know, I was so under conviction. Every little thing I was under conviction about. I mean, you know, when you're a young Christian, you're sensitive to everything. And I smoked at that time. Now, I'm not preaching against nobody who smokes. Don't think I am this morning. I'm not throwing my finger at you. I just said I did. And I felt in my heart it wasn't right. But I couldn't quit. It was a struggle. And every Sunday after Sunday, for 6 months or so, I'd run to that altar, Lord, please forgive me. You know what I've done. You've seen me. You've been with me all week. You know exactly where my problem is this morning. And I'd pray and I'd pray and I'd ask the Lord to forgive me, week after week. Well, I had a good pastor, and he seen me coming to the altar every week, and he got a little bit concerned. And he said, one Sunday when I went to the altar, and I prayed, and he said, all you people that's come to the altar, just stay up here. We're going to pray again for you. And he said, I want y'all to do some confessing so you can get victory over your sin or whatever's going on in your life. Boy, there I was. I was called. You know, I got where I was hiding my cigarettes. I didn't want nobody to see me. And I was telling people I'd quit, but I really hadn't. I was hiding them under my seat. God knew where they was. But anyway, I asked the Lord, and I confessed before the church, and maybe that's maybe not the right way. Only you need to confess before God. But anyway, I confessed before the church because I really wanted victory over this little problem I had. And I said, I've tried, and everything I try to do about quitting, I just can't. So the pastor said, we're going to pray again, and he prayed. And it was just like a prayer like we normally pray at the end of a service. And then I left, driving off the hill at Way of Life Baptist Church. I thought nothing had changed. Had a pack of cigarettes under my car, under the car seat. I rushed down there to get those cigarettes to pull me one out. I stuck it to my mouth. Honest, I can look any of you in the eye and tell you this. I heard a voice, and it was just like it was audible to me. Saying, all right, just go ahead and kill you. Now, y'all are looking at me funny, but I honest to God thought I heard that voice. I took those cigarettes and I threw them out the window. By the grace of God, God's helped me to never go back to that. I'm not a prisoner or enslaved to any sin, and you are not either. Because of Jesus Christ has set us free. You can be free. Really free. That had a stranglehold in my life I couldn't let go of. But yet, Christ set me free. Now, I just used that for an example this morning. Please don't think I'm condemning anybody or anything over what I... It may not matter to you, but it did me. It was something I had to deal with. Now, if there's something you need to deal with, you can do that. And God can set you free. And if you'll believe the truth, you shall be free indeed. Amen? Free. Don't lose that freedom. It's precious. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to this church. This is a beautiful church, beautiful people. Wonderful spirit here this morning. I'd like to ask you maybe just a question or two this morning. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have not, you've not experienced real genuine freedom. It's offered to whosoever will. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. You can be totally forgiven when you come to Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast aside. You can come honestly just like you are and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, make a new creature out of you. And He will. He'll make something new out of you. And you can experience a freedom that you never had before. And maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're a Christian. And you let things pull you into all kinds of things you know that you shouldn't be doing. And you don't want to do them, but you get lured into them and pulled into them before you know it. I want to tell you something, you can be free this morning. Christ gave you that power of freedom. Does that mean you'll not sin? We all sin. Even after we're saved, we all sin. That's why He left a remedy. He said, if we confess our sins, He's just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He made a way where we could walk in fellowship with Him completely by just confessing to Him, telling Him how we are and the help we need, and He'll give us grace to get through it. Would there be anyone like to come this morning? Say, yes, preacher, I need some freedom in my life. I need to get freed up on some things. I think I'm just about to slip past the perimeter where God has set. I don't want to get out there and lose the freedoms I already have. Is there anyone that needs to come for any reason this morning? I'll give you just a few minutes or maybe a minute or two if you'd like to come. No one's looking around. Nobody's just praying for their, praying for the yourselves and searching out your own hearts. Does anyone need to come for any reason? For any reason. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You loved us so much You sent Your Son. And that the Son loved us so much He was willing to die for our sins. But He not only died for our sins and took upon Him our sins. On the cross, He arose the third day and justified us. We are freely justified because of the work that You've done at Calvary and Your resurrection. Lord, I claim that this morning for my personal life. I don't want to be bound down and become a servant to sin. Lord, free us up. Help us to be free people, enjoying and experiencing the joys that we could have in being made free. Lord, I pray for this church that You bless it. I pray that it becomes a soul-winning station for Your honor and glory. Free us up from the things that would hinder that work. Free us up from anything that would hinder us doing Your will, where we can walk in Your presence. To You be the honor, to You be the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, and I'll turn this back over to you, whoever wants to close out the service or whatever y'all want to do this morning. I hope you'll take thought about the message this morning, and I know I kind of stumble through a lot of things, but I've cheated myself out of freedoms that I've learned from the past 30 years that we can be free to. We don't have to live in bondage no longer. Hey man, I come to church. You know, I used to have to go to church. Now I get to go to church. There's a big difference. Amen.